Lord, we ask, as your word does come, that you would grant to us revelation, Lord. Understanding, Father. Give us revelation and strength to walk this life, this late hour we're living, Lord. Have your way now. Bless each and every one that's gathered. May your will be done in everything we ask in your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Turn with me in our Only Bleed books. Page 51. It's right there. Amen. Glory to his name.
Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to, oh hallelujah, Lord, praise you, oh sing it.
Stop your lying. It will save you when you're dying.
It will start the devil flying, and it's good enough for me. Give me that old amen. Oh, give me that old time religion. Give me that old amen. Hallelujah. Oh, it's so good, I want no other. For it makes me love my brother, and it brings things undercover, and it's good. Amen. Oh, give me that old. Oh, hallelujah. It was good in the fiery furnace. Good enough for me. Oh, give me that old. Amen. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. And it's good. Amen. Oh, it was good for Brother Branham. It was good for Brother Branham. It was good for Brother Branham. For me. Oh, give me that old. Amen. Oh, give me that old. Oh, give me that old time religion, and it's good. Amen. The last one. It will take us all to heaven. It will take us all to heaven. It will take us all to heaven. And it's good enough for me. Oh, give me that old time religion. Give me that old.
Pamphlets on page 7. Amen. It's the glorious church. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Do you hear them coming, brother, thronging up the steeps of life? Oh, clad in glorious shining gold, blood-washed garments pure and white. Oh, 'tis a glorious church without a spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, 'tis a glorious church without a spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Promises. Amen. Oh, is the glory. the Lamb. Oh, tis a glorious church without a spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Oh, ain't he wonderful, saints? Oh, he's worthy of all our praise and glory, what he's done for us. Amen. Praise his name. Brother Hamilton. Where would I be without Jesus? Amen.
Where would I be without Jesus? Where would I spend eternity? Oh, lost in a world full of sorrow. Oh, without Jesus. Tell me, where would I be without Jesus? Oh, where would I spend eternity? Oh, lost in a world full of sorrow. Oh, without Jesus, where would I be?
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus, amen. How many have something you'd like to take before him? Just hold it on your heart as we bow our heads. Precious, precious Lord Jesus. Father, we're truly so thankful. Lord, we sing these songs of Zion, Lord, and what you've done for us. Your many blessings, Lord, saved our souls. Lord, you've just done so much for us. And Lord, the promise you've made, it's just getting so close, Father, that we can go home and be with you throughout eternity. Father, we ask, Lord, that the needs on the people's hearts, Lord, just reach down your hand, Father. Lord, just touch every heart, every need, every anything. No matter what it is, Lord, we know you've already paid the price. It's just laying there for us. So we, Lord, by faith, we reach out and claim it. Lord, we thank you so much for us. Lord, I do want to thank you for keeping your hand on Sister Angela, Lord. Lord, everything went fine. We're thankful for it. Your grace is just beyond all measure.
Yes, thank you.
We do appreciate it. Lord, may we never fail, Lord, to tell you how much we thank you.
Yes.
And Lord, testify to your goodness. Oh, God, we thank you. Be with the remainder of the service. Lord, just have your way. We ask in your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen. Praise his holy name. Amen. Let's go ahead and just sing a little chorus, Only Believe. And ask our brother to come.
Only believe. Oh.
For another opportunity to come together around his precious word.
Amen.
Just maybe a little bit of some Bible study this evening, maybe just to read some scriptures, renew our minds to some things, but I'm praying it'll stir your heart. I believe it will if you have your heart open, and you know we're here to talk about him. Amen. And by God's grace, I know he's near. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Precious Lord, we just thank you for every opportunity you give us. And Lord, your word is your as you had it recorded, you said, Lord, it is spirit and it is life.
Yes.
And Father, how we truly draw nourishment from it and strength. And Lord, we're just so thankful that it's not words on a page anymore, Lord, but we see the reality of you being made real in our lives, Lord. And Father, we're so thankful for that, and we appreciate all that you're doing for us and where you've brought us from, Lord, and where you're taking us to. But Lord, in this moment of time that we're in, may we not fail, Lord, to be the best representatives we can be for you in this hour. That, Lord, you would be able to get the glory from our lives as only you can manifest yourself through us, Lord. And we appreciate it. We ask your blessings upon your word now, Lord. Ask and take these things and strengthen our hearts. Lord, you know the purpose behind it. We just want to yield and let you have your way now. And we ask it all to your glory and honor. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. While you're still standing, if you would, we'll turn our Bibles over to 1 Peter, the 5th chapter. Amen. And I'm going to do a lot of scripture reading tonight, and a lot of it's single verses. If you want to try to follow along with me, I'll give you time. We're going to go start, and I'll try to start in each book, and we'll go through. But like I said, if not, I can give you a list of all the scriptures after service if you'd like to have them. But I just want us to think about these things. You know, God, the author of this book, as he was teaching us about himself and revealing himself and wrote these things, that we would be able to understand and to have a great confidence in him. And how, as we see these things, I just pray that it'll stir our hearts a little greater to be more thankful and maybe even to just be a little more trusting in his grace. Amen. But here in 1 Peter, and let's read this 5th chapter, 6th and 7th verse. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all of your care upon him, for he careth for you. Amen. May the Lord bless you in his word. You may be seated.
Amen.
How great he cares for you.
Amen.
Amen. As an individual, you know, you know how precious we are in his sight. And he told us that many, many times. But there's a promise in that, but you've got to find yourself lining up with those promises. There's, you know, sometimes we preach it as it's for everyone, but you alone will know as we begin to read these scriptures, if this understanding is in your life and you see the reality of it to you personally. And we're going to start in the book of Proverbs, but our pastor had mentioned a couple services ago, he was in passing as he was ministering, spoke about the fear of the Lord, and that's where we're going to kind of start this evening, is reading some scriptures about the fear of the Lord. But if you just to think about fear, there's two types of fear. There's like a fear of dread and or being scared, but there's a fear of a reverence, of a respect. And just to kind of catch a dictionary kind of way of thinking about it, this is a positive fear that involves awe, worship, respect, and a deep understanding of God's majesty and power. And it is seen as the beginning of wisdom and the source and security of a long life. But that's just kind of Webster's. But now let's go back and start to read the scriptures as it was put into page here. But we'll start in Proverbs, the first chapter. And then we'll get to some things the prophet said. But Proverbs 1, and I'm going to read it off my page just so it'd be probably a little quicker for me. But Proverbs 1 and 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And just think of these things, like I say, just take it. I'm not going to add anything to it. We're just going to let the word speak to our hearts. And the manner, and just as it's down through the scriptures, may sound like I'm repeating some things, but just let it flow along. Proverbs 9 and 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. And then we're going to go to Proverbs 10 and 27. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. And Proverbs 14, 26 and 27, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. And the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. In Proverbs 19:23, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied, and he shall not be visited with evil. And make sure I got all right. Now, if you want to turn over into Psalms, and we'll back up a little bit, but Psalms 111 and 10. And just like I said, if it's easier just to follow along, I'll give you the scriptures. You can go back and read them. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and a good understanding have all they that do his commandments, and his praise endureth forever. For as high as for the heaven, this is Psalms 103:11. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. Like as a father pitieth his children, Psalms 103:13. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Psalms 103 and 17. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto his children's children. In Psalms 34:7, the angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him and delivereth them. In Psalms 145 and 19, and he will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He will also hear their cry and will save them. And then in Malachi 4 and 2, very familiar scripture, but unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Yeah. Amen. And then in Luke 1 and 50, and his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. Amen. How many times, like I said, there's quite a few scriptures, but how much it must really mean to him to have that reverence and respect. And you know, Paul spoke of it in Hebrews, just to make mention of it, in the natural, we've had fathers in our flesh that chastised us and raised us up and give us correction, and how we reverenced them for that. And how much more our Heavenly Father and his correction and reverence and bringing us, how it's built a reverence and a godly fear into our hearts to truly honor him and to want to obey his commandments. And it's by his mercy and grace that he placed that down inside of each and every one of us. And by grace we see this. And as you think about these scriptures, it's for your benefit. Even as Paul said, he said, when we receive chastisement or correction, it's for our benefit. It brings forth the wonderful fruits of righteousness. And how, when we see what he's done for us and what he's doing for us, and how much he's loved us. I mean, to think about these things here as we go through, I just want to draw a little picture. Now, that was a lot of this stuff out of the Old Testament, but I want you to keep that in mind in Malachi 4 and 2. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. So, you know, in the natural, you take someone like our pastor that's got cows or some animal he's nurturing. There's just a special nurture there for that animal. You're baby it along, you give it everything you want. You know, you watch anyone that has animals, they always got a treat in their pocket, they got a little something to give them. There's just that nurturing to keep it growing, to keep it healthy, to see it grow. And that's how our Heavenly Father is watching over us. And every day he's watching to see what we have need of. What vitamin am I lacking? What nutrient do I need? What do I need in my life to just keep me growing, to keep me moving on, and to keep coming to this place that he's got for us? And you know, it takes all kinds of things. You know, you try to give you take a little sugar treat out there to the old horse, and boy, he's sure glad to get his tongue wrapped around that thing, and he'll flap it all around his lips, and it makes him really happy. But take that dewormer that he needs out there and squirt that in his mouth, he ain't going to be too happy with you, and he'd probably have a hard time getting him to take it. But it's all needful for his benefit. And how our Heavenly Father is watching over each and every one of his own. And I want us to think about that just a little bit. We're going to move over now into some scriptures, and This is, there's one, the first one will be in Psalms, and this is 121, 3 and 5. As he begins to speak about these that are fearing his name, I want you to think about that. The fear of the Lord is the beginning. And as you start to grow and stuff into this place, but Psalms 121, 3 to 5, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved, and he that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper, and the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. And then Psalms 34, 15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. In Proverbs 2 and 8, he keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. And then to move down to John 10, 27, 28, our pastor was mentioning this Sunday. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Amen. Just let it just kind of just dwell upon it for just a little bit as we read it. It's a lot of scriptures, but I want you to look at the promise that's laying there to each one of us as an individual. By God's grace, I have that respect and I have that awe for his majesty and his power and all that I've seen him do. And by God's grace, that cannot come in your own self, but it takes something special. Before this world was ever formed, he knew each one and formed them and called them by name. So think about that for just a moment now. And let's go over here to thinking about along this lines about his sheep. I probably should have held that last one for just a moment. But let's go here now to in Matthew. I want you to think about each one of these things. Matthew 6, 25, 26. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. What shall ye eat? What shall ye drink? Nor yet for your body, what shall ye put on it? Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Amen. I want you to think about that. You look at all these little bees and all these birds and look at everything that's taking place. And they've all got their place. And all of them have everything they have need of their life. He's watching over them. He takes care of them. He knows, Brother Branham said, he knows how much tallow is in the gnat of an eye, I believe is the way he put it. And he knows how many times that gnat bats its eye. How much greater are you, the blood purchased of Jesus Christ? How much more would he be willing to manifest himself and to show forth the promises that he has left laying here for us? And you know, sometimes we don't give him the opportunity for us to truly make him as big as he is. And to let him have that opportunity to truly shine forth. That, Lord, I know you are my strength. You are my help in the time of trouble. You are all that I have need of. And all of my confidence lies in you. Amen. Just let it go along here. So Matthew 10, 29 to 31. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall to the ground without your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore. Ye are more value than many sparrows. Amen. Jesus himself speaking to me, speaking to you as an individual, he knows. By God's grace, if I've seen I've been called and I feel this in my heart and purpose and I've recognized that this word is speaking to me, I find myself in those scriptures. I am one of them that fear his name. Every one of those promises are lining up of all he said he would do for those that fear his name and honor and respect him. Think about it. For a moment, and he says here, Philippians 4, 6, and 7, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God, and the peace of God which shall passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And I, yeah, that's, and then and I had Isaiah 41:10 here, and it's, "Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, I will help thee, and yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Amen. Just bear with me. This is, like I said, these, to keep these things in mind. Of all of these promises, I believe Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We quote that a lot, but there's coming a time it's going to have to be proven in each of our lives. That it's not just a token we stand by and say, "I believe that," but it's evident that I know without a fact, without a doubt, that He is the same today as He was then and shall be forever. And our lives and our trust, the response of our life to every situation, whatever comes my way, will reflect that I know He's in control. Amen. It'll come to that. Hallelujah. Amen. So thinking about that, let me just catch real quick the Philippians 4:6. Think, as he says here, he says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Now we're going to kind of move over just a little bit. We're going to go into Hebrews and catch some scriptures speaking about this high priest. Amen. Hebrews 4:14 and 16. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." Hebrews 7:24 and 25. "But this man, because he continueth forever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest," this is Hebrews 8 and 1, "we have such a high priest who is set on the right hand throne of the majesty in heavens." And Hebrews 9:11-12, "But Christ being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." Amen. I just want you to think, God's whole plan laying out before us as we think about what he's done for us and all these promises that he made to those that he saw before there was a moon or a star. He knew who would fear his name. And all of these promises were to that select group of people. Yes. And now as we think about that, this high priest that can be touched. I want you to think, I'm just going to read this one quote Brother Branham said. And I want us to, you know, sometimes it's easy to read things in the Bible and we kind of, it's good. It's a parable. It's a story. It's happened. This was actually something that happened. But I want us to put ourselves in this place and just think about it for just a moment. This is in the Identified Christ of All Ages. This was preached June 1764, paragraph 161. And he's talking about the little woman that had the issue of blood. We won't take the time to go read the scripture, but we know she pressed through the crowd. And he begins here at paragraph 161, and he says, "But she touched his garment, and she went back in the crowd. And let's say she sat down. She might have stood up. But say she sat down. What happened? Jesus just stopped." You know, this was a situation that was happening, but he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And this little lady was one of his own. Amen. I want you to think about that. One of those little sheep.
Yes.
And he says, you know, Apostle Peter thought that was... And Jesus stopped and said, "Who touched me?" And you know, Apostle Peter thought that was so ridiculous. Till the people, why, he rebuked him for it. In other words, he might have said, "Why, look, everybody is touching you. They'll think this. This happened for a reason. Amen. You're mentally, they'll think that you're mentally wrong. See, why everybody is touching you, Rabbi? And he said, but I perceive that I have gotten weak. Virtue, that strength, has gone from me. And that one little woman now brought strength from him. And he looked around in the audience, and he found where she was. And he told her her trouble and what had happened. And the Bible said he is now the high priest that can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. Is that right? And now if you have that same faith in the same Jesus, it'll do the same thing for you. Who is he? Is the Word. Amen. Now be real reverent. Pray, don't doubt, but believe with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he'll grant you these blessings. Amen. Do we truly in our hearts realize he's not a myth? He said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I'll be in the midst. I carry him with me. Amen. Yes, amen. Just think about this. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and put this in there now. Amen. And John, the 14th chapter. And I will pray the Father. John 14, 16, 17. And he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Amen. Think about before there was ever a moon or a star, there was a little thought. Yes. Amen. And hallelujah. I was there. Amen. And by God's grace, I, in a decreed season, I was sent to this earth, and that little germ of life, it was laying down inside of here. Amen. And he sent the baptism of the Holy Ghost down on there and killed that old nature, a new nature come alive. And now I want you to think about this promise that's here. John 14, 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. And just think, Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Amen. He's not gone. He's not dead. It's not another person. It's not another. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. In our hearts and in our lives in just a different dispensation.
Yes.
But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I've said unto you. And this was Jesus speaking at each one of these statements, and as he went down through the line here. John 15, 26. But when the Comforter is come, who I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. John 16 and 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. So he sent back the gift of the Holy Spirit upon us to energize us. And to bring us to that place where he had for us to be. That's his fellowship with us. But I want you to think, he didn't change his attributes. He didn't change his ways. He is still the same today as he was when he walked here in a flesh body. He can still be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. Whatever you have need of, he's always willing, always ready. That's where our trust should be. That's why he done the things that he done. That's why these examples happened. This little lady that stood in the crowd, she reached out and touched him. And he turned around. Then God sent a prophet in this age and used the same sign to show that he was still the same today as he was then. Virtue would go from him. Brother Branham, we saw him manifest himself through Brother Branham, his ministry, to catch the attention of that little bride. And we today are recipients of that to be able to realize that prophet's gone off the scene. But Jesus Christ is not gone off the scene. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He still abides with us, each and every one.
Amen.
And when we come into his presence and we're standing here or I have a need, whether I be, no matter where I am, I have this confidence of all of these scriptures. I know I fear his name. I love him and I know he loves me because I am keeping his commandments. I'm walking in tune with his word. And by God's grace, I've been a recipient to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost that was able to come back upon that believer. The life to come to energize and to bring the mechanics and the dynamics together in our lives. to bring us to that place to where we have not, it's a, I believe the other definition, just to think about it, I think this will, it says a definition of a positive fear in line with this. It says the type of fear involves a conscious awareness of God's holiness and a desire to live in obedience to his will. And it also includes a spirit of gratitude, love, and reverence for him. And there is truly a desire, a longing to make sure that pleasing, I'm being pleasing to him. It's always mindful, and you can truly see that. Now, what if I didn't care? What if I just went through the day, I didn't think about him, I didn't care if my life matched up with any of his word, I don't really care if my mind's up on him, I don't care, but Paul said, let's sing and make music unto the Lord, pray without ceasing. If I don't care about none of this, I don't think about it, I just go through the day, I ain't got no confidence in any of these promises. But when the Holy Spirit comes, it teaches you and leads you and guides you into all truths. And as it does, it's not your, but you can look back into the scriptures, you look back into these, and then that's me. By God's grace, what he's imparted to me brought me to the fear of the Lord in the beginning of not understanding. And you see it all begin to line up in your life and how it brings that confidence. Yes. And it brings us to that place. The prophet's gone. You know, we have a pastor here sent by part of the fivefold ministry. And I can have a confidence that God is using that gift, that office to speak to me and deliver the word to my heart. And if I have need to pray with me, to guide me, to lead me, whatever I might need at that place and time. But nevertheless, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, he takes his man, but he never takes his spirit. Amen. And he's here today in spirit form to meet the needs and to be touched by your infirmities. Yeah. And you say, how? There's so many problems. Everybody's got a need. But he's waiting for that one that reaches out and touches him by faith. Mm-hmm. That one that reaches out and says, I need a touch and I know it's there. And he is the same as he was then who touched me. Mm-hmm. Who is praying? Who needs that need? And he's there to meet it the same as he was then. It's not a myth. I'm not going to try to find him. But I go to him in prayer and I know that he is. Amen. Amen. Oh my, he is making himself known and revealing himself to that little bride, to that place. Amen. Oh my, could you imagine, do you realize that someday there's going to be a rapture and we're going to go meet our bridegroom? Amen. And it's not going to be somebody that I don't know. Oh, it won't be somebody that I don't understand. Amen. He's revealing himself to us in simplicity. Amen. He is showing us who he is and what he is. And it's being made known now, and it'll just be a furtherment. When we meet him, he will continue to manifest himself out to us and to reveal himself throughout eternity. It's a love affair. It's not going to be, who's this that showed up to get me? Why am I going? What am I? No, he is revealing himself. He's making it real. It's not just, oh, I need something to preach. I just need something to read. I'm just following a movement. But no, it's a reality that Jesus Christ has called me, has called you to be a personal relationship. That every verse in this Bible has become part of my life. It's becoming me as he is taking me over and living himself out through us. Oh my, won't it be so wonderful? We'll be flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone, word upon word. All of it gelling together. Think about the things the prophet said concerning that little bride as she would be. And conform to his image. Amen. And his image is laying here before us every time we pick it up. Oh my, it's such a, what it should be such a love affair with the Jesus Christ. It's not a myth. It's not, oh, he's out here on the shelf. But just take the simplicity of God's word. And God sent a prophet to reveal and to open it up to show us where he's standing. Amen. But while we're here, we were put here. Sickness comes, obstacles come, all manner of situations arise. For what? To build character in you and to bring glory unto him. Amen. And to help form us to that place to where we will have that assurance. It's a life you can't live yourself, but I will come and live it through you. Amen. Oh, he's so precious. If you could just let it just build up in our hearts, saints, every word has got an importance to it. And there's so much in the scriptures. It's his words. He made sure every verse got put in here for a reason. Amen. For our benefit. Amen. As we partake of it. Amen. And, you know, as we was thinking about that, I just want to renew your minds to this. The prophet said, improving his word. Very familiar. We've heard. This is where he was speaking about the vision, and it's very familiar, but just let it drop into our hearts again. Maybe it'll, someone needs to hear it. Amen. He says about, he was speaking to someone in the prayer line, and he starts about paragraph 262, and he says, what if he would give me a vision and tell this woman something to do? Now, everybody in that meeting had confidence. They had seen the Holy Spirit give the prophet vision after vision. They knew if he got a vision, they knew it was going to come to pass. They knew he would be able to tell them. They knew that. And their confidence, the prophet was trying to introduce them to Jesus Christ. But yet their attention was still a little bit focused more on the man that they could see. Because sometimes human beings are in that state, we need to feel something. We need to see something. Because that's the way this body functions. But faith is a substance. Oh my, it's the evidence of things not seen. But as he says here, he says, what if he would give me a vision and tell this woman to something to do? That, well, I believe then if I laid my hands up on her, she'd get well. Do you believe that? But what if he didn't give the vision? What would the vision do? It only gives me faith. Transmitting my faith, the unseen power of God, see? Now, if you, every one of you die right this minute, you'd never see you leave your body. All your mental facilities, all that you are, would leave. But you'd never see it go. And that's the force that makes me move my hands. That's a force, isn't it? The force that could make me think. The force that makes me preach. The force that makes me live and act. The same force that can motivate this body would leave it. And you wouldn't see that force leave. It's an unseen force, and so is faith. Don't miss this. Faith, Jesus said, they shall lay hands on the sick. Now see, if I went and had a vision and laid hands on her, I believe that she's going to get well because I saw the vision. My confidence is in the vision. But what about the word? Lay hands on her with the same faith. The vision's only given to motivate my faith and your faith. With the same faith without the vision, it'll work just the same. Yes. Some people are given great faith, and some don't have that kind of faith. They're given visions to give them that faith, see? And it'd still be the same dirty hands, be the same person, but just laying hands upon them. Now let the Holy Spirit confirm his presence and confirm his word that he promised. And now watch how simple he done this. He said, now I forgot what your name was. What is your name now? And again, well, he said he could have told me that if he'd have wanted to, see, but I'm just saying, I know you. Now you just come right here just a minute, a little closer. These people are standing here praying, you see. If I be the servant of Christ and have preached the word which I believe to be the truth, do you believe that? You believe it. And now if you have need of something, I could not give it to you because I don't have it to give. Unless maybe it's a little money or something, or I could go talk to your husband and children, loved ones or something, I could. But if you need healing, I couldn't give it to you. That's already purchased. Amen. I want you to think about what he hath already done for you and for me. Amen. And placed us in this body. And then sent a prophet in this age to express what faith truly was. Revelation of God's word revealed to you. Not for every situation that comes along. It is, as our pastors went through that. You don't need me to cover those topics, but just look at what it can do if we focus our undivided attention to him, and if we're truly looking to his word and crying out to him, if I have a need, if I have something in my life, I need a healing, where do I think I'm going to get that from? Sometimes it's still easy to want to lean upon a man. Well, if somebody will pray for me, I'll get what I have need of. If somebody can do this for me, I'll get that. You know, maybe I have a financial need and I could say, I'm going to trust the Lord, but then I go running around doing everything I can to try to make that come to pass. I didn't wait on him. I didn't let him put it together for me to help that situation out. My faith wasn't in him. My faith was in what I could do on my own to get there. But he's totally proven that he wants our undivided attention and our faith to be anchored in him and him alone. And he is the only divine healer. He is the only divine revealer of his precious word. But he's waiting for those people that can truly realize, I need help, as the little song says, I need help that can only come from you, no matter what it is. God has a channel. He uses man. He does. We're his mouthpiece. We're his eyes. We're his hands on this earth. But he alone, he is the one that's looking down, waiting to be touched by the feeling of your infirmity. He may use a man to speak the word that you need to cause it to click and to catch the revelation of something that he has spoken in his word. It may be something special to help you grab a hold of the faith that you need to get the healing that he promised you and has already paid for. But it's him in all manner, the same as he was then, he is still today, and he hasn't changed one bit. He's still working the same.
Amen.
And then the message, I don't know, let's see if we've got time. We got time to read this. Amen. This was in the Sumerian church age, and this is the salutation to the church. That's right at the end of the church age book. But as Brother Brandon was saying here, you sisters can come to the instruments if you would. Yeah, he starts with Revelation 2:8, and he says, "These things saith the first and last, which was dead and is alive." The first and the last, which was dead, which is alive. And now these are not the words of a man. A mere man could speak from the grave and would say, I am the first and the last, which was alive and is dead. The first thing that happens to a man is that he is born and is alive. And the last thing that happens is he dies. So this is not a man speaking. This is deity. Man, Adam, took life and turned it into death. But this man, Jesus, took death and turned it into life. Adam took innocence and turned it into guilt. This one took guilt and turned it into righteousness. Adam took paradise and turned it into a waste, howling wilderness. But this one is coming back to turn an earth rocking and reeling with destruction into another Eden. Adam took life of fellowship and joy with God and turned it into a desert of spiritual darkness that brought forth all sin, moral decay, pain, suffering, and delusion, and corruption that wars within the souls of men. But this one, from all the tragic death and degradation that filled mankind, brought forth a life of righteousness and beauty, so that as sin once reigned unto death, even so might men now reign in righteousness by one, Christ Jesus. Not as the offense was, though terrible indeed it was, but how much more is his gift unto eternal life. And he is here, and here he is, walking in the midst of those whom he has redeemed, even his church. What were those who were redeemed? Were not many like Paul, murderers, corruptors? Were not many like the dying thief, robbers, and man-killers? All trophies of his grace, and all brought back from the dead, all made alive in Christ Jesus the Lord. I wonder if you noted the salutation to the first age, and then noted the one to this age. Just put them together. These things saith he that holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks in the midst of the churches. These things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. This one and the same person, he is letting us know that the church is his. Amen. Let it be personal. As the seed of the fruit is in the midst of the fruit, so is he, the royal seed, in the midst of the church. And as the seed alone has life in it, so is he the author of life to the church. His walking signifies his untiring care of it. He is the chief shepherd, watching over his own. That is his right. For he bought that church with his own blood. That blood is the blood of God. The one who owns the church is God, the very God. He is the first and the last. That title spells eternity. He was dead and is alive. He paid the price, so he has sole ownership of the temple of God. He rules it. He's worshipped in it,
and he resents anyone taking over over his lordship and authority. No doubt the reason he introduced himself in each age as deity is to warn and comfort the people. He warns the false vine, and he comforts the true vine. This is the one true Almighty God. Hear him and live. Amen. And to know that he's walking in my midst. Amen. He's here tonight. He's wherever I am. He's never more than a whisper away. Amen. Whatever I have need of, whatever I'm facing, he's right there to meet the need. You know, and it doesn't mean you won't have hardships. It won't mean trials won't come. And it doesn't mean life's going to be a bed of roses. But he lets all things happen for your benefit. That through those you will be a trophy of his grace that he can say. But oh, what a consolation it ought to give us to know.
Yes.
What I have need of, he's holding in his hand.
Yes.
Anything, any trial, stress of life, whatever I'm facing, we forget who we serve. And we forget he's standing in our midst. Just as the disciples were in the ship and he was asleep, they forgot he was back there for a minute. He's always present. He's never absent. Things come. Things will try to tear down your walls. It'll try to knock your ship sideways. But put on the stabilizer and realize he's standing right in our midst. He is holding the keys. He is walking, always mindful. And he's just waiting for one of those little blood purchased to say, I have a need, and to reach out and to touch him. He'll be there to meet it. And oh my, who's going to get the glory? He will get the glory. Amen. It'll come back as a reference to him. Thank you, Lord. Oh my, there'll be a praise in your heart. There'll be a shout to know he is on the scene. Amen. So the next time life really just throws something at you, and it really seems like you just don't know how much more you can take, just remember, be calm. For he said, peace, be still. It's all in his control. If it happened, he allows it to happen. And oh, am I to know that I'm carved from the palm of his hand. And he said, no one would pluck me from his hand. And he said he would never leave us nor forsake us. So just remember, for those that fear his name, he's always near. Amen. And watching over that group. Hallelujah. Today you can take something from God's precious word. Amen. I was reading these things, and there were so many. I thought, nope, we're not going to cut them out. We're just going to read them all together.
Yeah,
put it in there and let the Lord speak to our hearts. For he is the one. It's his words.
Yeah,
I'm just the mouthpiece. But by God's grace, the Holy Spirit speaking to my heart through the word. Amen.
Hallelujah.
And I thank him for it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, he's so precious. Let's all stand if you would. Amen. Let's sing that little chorus. How great is our God as our pastor comes.
Hallelujah.
Amen. How great is our God?
Yes.
How great is his word? He's the greatest one that ever was heard. He rolled back the waters of the mighty Red Sea. Trust in me. How great is our God? Amen. How great is his word? He's the greatest one that ever was heard. He rolled back the waters. Yes. Said, I will lead you. Put your trust in me. Amen. Another real good one. Amen. Wasn't it?
Amen.
Amen. I thought it was wonderful. You know, and of course, you know, when somebody else is ministering, I think of so many things, but I'll just share this and then I'll dismiss. But I was thinking again about what he was saying, all these things, and thinking just, you know, he careth for you. How simple that is. And yet how beautiful it is to know he cares for us. I used the example, you know, taking care of the animals or whatever it was. And the
because you know their needs and you care for them. Just kind of a little natural type of animals. But, you know, and then to really think, though, how much he really does care for us. And do you realize there's things you don't even have to ask? Because he cares. And he takes care of you. Absolutely. You don't even have to ask. He knows your heart's desire. He knows what we have need of before we even ask. Is that right? You think of the little woman he talked about with a blood issue. Here she went, pressing through the crowd. She didn't go pressing through the crowd, crying out to Jesus. Heal me, Jesus, heal me. Heal me of my infirmity. She didn't ask. She just pressed through the crowd and wanted to touch him, knowing that he is the high priest of feeling our infirmities. And I got thinking about that, I think, and you can probably, I'm sure, think of so many things, as I've mentioned before. You just say, Lord, it'd be nice. Yeah. It'd just be nice. You're not asking him even. I'm just showing you, there's things you don't even ask, but he cares for you so much. You know, just, I'll use two illustrations again that recently I've talked about before, kind of, so you'll kind of the whole thing. But I just said it would be nice if that limb would fall and get it over with before it hurts somebody. And it falls. Go back a few years, it'd be nice if we could get this property over here so we wouldn't have to worry about it if the neighbor passed away. The next time with the work crew out here, a man comes over and asks me about it. Just be nice. But if you live close enough to God, you're his wife. He's in love with you. You're in love with him. How many times a man with his husband or between husband and wife, if you see something that she's mentioned she wants or she'd like to have, you will try to work it out, or maybe something just little. Next time you go to town, you'll pick it up. She didn't ask you. No. She was just talking about, it'd be nice to have this, or be like, I'd like to have that. And you just go and do it. Why? Because she's your wife. We're his wife. And he cares for us. Same way with him. He just knows what we have need of. Yes. Before we even ask. Loves us. Oh, if that doesn't make you want to love him more, just knowing that, you know, I don't know what would. I mean, you just fall in love with him because there's that close relationship between you and him. Oh my, and he knows your needs, knows what you have need of. Like I said, you can see things in your life happen that, you know, you didn't even realize was maybe happening. But then you watch God move and, oh, I didn't realize that's what was going on, or this was going to be taken care of this way, you know? And here you might have been thinking in your mind, how can I do this? Or what would be God's will for me to do this? How would God want me to handle that? And then God just works it around. You didn't say, Lord, lead me, guide me, will you give me this, will you give me that? He just works it out. Yeah. He cares for you. Couldn't help to think those things as our brother was bringing that out. It just makes you love him that much more. Makes you appreciate him that much more. Saints, God is real. He's real. And he wants to be real in your life. But we must fear him. Godly respect, to be reverent, and I love him. And it isn't something we got to try to do ourselves. It's something he puts in your heart. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, what a good, precious words we've heard tonight. Lord, and so many times we hear your word, and it's so wonderful to us because by grace we can relate to it, and we see it happen in our lives. We see, Lord, by your grace, it being conformed in us. And Lord, we're seeing our identification with you and seeing you live in our lives, and that gives us greater assurance, Lord, that token is there. That life is there when we see ourselves becoming more as the scripture becoming more like the Word. For Lord, that's what gives us an assurance, Lord, is that token that prophet spoke of, the token. That's where that assurance comes from. So Lord, we're so thankful for that. Appreciative of the Word tonight, Lord, I trust it will be a help and strength to every one of us and cause us to even press on harder. And Lord, give our life greater in you. Cause and stir greater love for you in our hearts. We thank you, Lord, now for your mercy and your grace. And so appreciative of your love for us. We ask again that you just go with us, keep us safe, Lord. And just give us grace and mercy, Lord. We could be here again Sunday if you should tarry. And may we come, Lord, again praying and asking you to speak to us through the Word and give us revelation, Lord. We ask now thy will be done in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm glad I was here. How about you? Amen. It's very good. Brother Tim. Amen. That's wonderful, isn't it? Praise the Lord. I'm sure it's a load off of her mind, too. Amen. May God richly bless you.